Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Tiziana Deering. WBUR senior political reporter Anthony Brooks has been covering the Democratic presidential primary race. Today, he caught up with South Bend, Indiana Mayor Pete Buttigieg in Henniker, New Hampshire, where Mayor Pete, as he likes to be called, explained how he would take on President Donald Trump.
Well, I'm used to dealing with bullies, and I've seen worse incoming than tweets full of typos. And you can tell that President Trump hasn't quite figured out what to do with me yet. The key is to be able to confront him while denying him the power to change the subject, which is kind of his specialty. And that's going to take enormous discipline, not just toughness, but discipline, and a readiness to always return the central topic of this election to our everyday lives and how they're going to be different if we have the right president doing the right things in office. That's how we get around this president's noise machine, standing up to him when we must, but never allowing him to dominate the conversation the way he's used to.
And yet he seems to always be able to do it. I mean, he figures out how to sort of set off a bomb in the middle of whatever's going on, and I'm afraid people like me all sort of turn toward him and cover it.
Well, the problem is he does things that you can't ignore. If he says something racist, you have to confront it. If he tells a lie, you got to dig up the truth and say it. But the key is to do that and then very quickly return back to our center of gravity to talk about what we believe matters. Because when we're talking about voters, we win. We have the best answers. We're the ones trying to get you a raise. We're trying to get you paid family leave. We have the right answer on health care. We're ready to reform the immigration system. We're going to keep your kids safe in school from gun violence. We're the only ones who are remotely serious about climate. I mean, issue after issue, we've got the best answers. It's exactly why we need to make sure that we speak to the fundamental question on every voter's mind, which is, how's my life going to be different if you become president instead of him getting reelected?
I want to ask you, Mr. Mayor, about what Barack Obama said 2 or 3 weeks ago. He talked about how most Americans don't want to tear the system down. And most people took that as, you know, a reference to Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren, who are calling for big structural changes, for a political revolution. Do you agree with the former president, and is that how you would sort of position your candidacy as someone who is sort of several steps short of tearing the system down?
I believe in big changes. I don't believe that boldness ought to be measured by how many people you alienate with an idea. That's, I think, the difference, and that's where I very much align with a lot of what President Obama had to say. We can do big things without detonating the kind of divisiveness that we already see happening among a polarized American people.
Are you saying people like Warren and Sanders are detonating that divisiveness?
Well, we certainly see that risk in the approach to healthcare, this kind of my way or the highway idea. And I think we see it in other areas, too. I believe in structural change. I've led the field in calling for structural change to our democracy in terms of its undemocratic features. But we can do that in a way that actually helps to unite rather than further divide the people.
I want to ask you about why President Trump got elected in the first place. One of the things that he managed to do was to talk about, I mean, I think he tapped into this idea that there are a lot of people who feel left behind by this system. Maybe one of the best sort of issues that he grabbed hold of was draining the swamp. Now, obviously, it's debatable whether he's done anything to actually drain the swamp, but that seemed like a powerful message. How do you sort of respond to that? I mean, in terms of that idea that people are looking for major change because so many people felt left behind.
Well, I think in many ways it's true that American people have seen the failure of our economic and political systems to keep up. Now, again, to me, that doesn't mean that the boldest idea is always the ideologically leftmost. It does mean that we need big, bold ideas to fix these things. A lot of folks where I live in the so-called Rust Belt in the industrial Midwest voted not so much because they liked the guy, but to burn the house down. And we need to make sure that we respond with better answers now that the house is on fire.
So let me just ask this straight out. Why did Donald Trump win?
Well, there are a whole bunch of reasons. And let's remember that he is a historically unpopular president, but he was able to speak to a lot of things that activated and found fertile ground among voters who are ready to just smash anything that looks like the old way. It's not just the racism, the misogyny, and xenophobia that was clearly part of his campaign. It was how he found fertile ground for all of that among people wondering whether anything at all is going to work. And our responsibility is to demonstrate how we can put together a better economy, a better democracy, and a fairer country. And we can do that in a way that beats back his ability to divide people of common interests. You look, for example, at the interests of low-income people of all races in the country right now. They are unified. When I hear this false choice being put up about catering to either white working-class voters or people of color, look, where I come from, a lot of working-class voters are people of color. We have an opportunity to unify across the very lines that he's divided people across. That has to be at the heart of our strategy.
One more question, if I can, and that is, so you must be encouraged, according to polls, you're leading here in New Hampshire, you're doing great in Iowa. I know you just came up from the South and visited North Carolina, South Carolina. There you're not doing so well, and of course you're up against this issue. Let's talk about South Carolina, where a large majority of Democratic voters are African Americans. They don't seem to have bought into the Pete Buttigieg campaign yet.
There are a lot of voters, especially black voters in the South, that we find are still getting to know me and getting to know our campaign, and who value being able to have known for years or decades somebody who's been on the national scene. But I believe that our answers are resonating. The more that voters, and in particular black voters in the South, learn about what I have to offer, the more traction that we're getting. My job is to use the time that we have in this campaign to make sure that we have missed no opportunities to engage voters.
Just to follow up on that, to what extent are you concerned, though, that some of the resistance might be to the fact that you're the first major gay presidential candidate, and we're talking about a community that tends to be culturally conservative, and maybe that's a steep hill for you to climb?
I just don't think it's right to pin homophobia on the black community when it exists in every part of American society. And it's certainly true that we're talking about a lot of voters who fall in different parts of the ideological spectrum. My own community is full of socially conservative Democrats, black, white, and Latino. And that community supported me overwhelmingly in my reelection after I came out because they supported the results that I was delivering for our community. If that can happen in our city, that can happen across the country.
That was WBUR senior political reporter Anthony Brooks speaking with Democratic presidential candidate Pete Buttigieg. Stay with us. Coming up, let's go to Brazil. I'm Tiziana Deering. This is Radio Boston.